At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Rejoining us once again, Michael Lombardi, GM Shuffle Pod. GM Shuffle Pod, a former general manager, three-time Super Bowl winning NFL executive. He is on with us once again. He's also the host of the Lombardi Line, right? On VSIN. Mike Lombardi joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Michael, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. We appreciate it. How would you figure out this playoff stuff now, rescheduling or not rescheduling? What would you do if you were NFL commissioner?
Well, I think what I would do is just rule the game a tie and just carry on. And I think both teams would, due to the circumstances, neither team would complain. I think both teams would understand that, you know, what happened on Monday night in Cincinnati is bigger than seedings, and it's bigger than, the game itself. And I think we make so much out about home field advantage, and yet we know Cincinnati went into Tennessee last year and won. We know Cincinnati went into Kansas City and won. We know Buffalo should have won in Kansas City, albeit 13 seconds. The Rams went into Tampa and won. And, you know, if the 49ers intercept that pass, they're going to the final. They're going to go to the Super Bowl as a road team. So I think we make way too much out of the seeding, the home field. I mean, the bye week is nice if you can get it, but only one team's going to get that. So to me, I would rule it a tie, and let's just keep going, and we'll see what happens and pray for DeMar's help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is unlike anything we've seen, Mike. You've been in the league for years, and, you know, I'll be honest with you. I thought the NFL, I think people were ready to fire away at the NFL during this entire thing. You know, they didn't cancel the game fast enough. They people want to just go with the heartless NFL angle. And I get it, because there's a background. I mean, there's a reason to come with that. There's history. However, I don't blame the NFL for taking their time. Everything that they've done up to this point, they've taken time to, I think, work through as many things as they possibly can, because this is all unprecedented that I can recall.
Well, look, you know, I think for me, you know, as I wrote about in VSiN.com online, this is different, right? So we have all experienced the player on the field who gets carted off with a torn ACL or a broken ankle or some kind of injury. You know, and we've seen a player get carted off on the stretcher with immobilized because we're concerned about, a back injury, a spine injury. But this was different. This was not an injury. This was life or death. And when we got into this life or death situation, it the faces of all the people around it, the players, the staff, was telling. And, you know, the NFL's never come across really this before. It's happened one other time when a player had cardiac arrest on the field, but from a blood clot. But this, to me, was so different. And the stadium was silent, and everybody was praying that DeMar would recover. You know, everybody was praying that initially we all probably thought it was some form of spinal injury. And then as it got closer, we realized it was a life or death situation. So to me, I think the NFL, by taking their time, I think they did the right thing. Now, they didn't announce the game was canceled, but when I saw on the television from my chair in my living room, when I saw Sean McDermott and Zach Taylor shake hands, I knew the game was canceled. So by the time they reported to us, it really didn't matter. I could tell. I could tell from the faces of the coaches the game was going to get canceled. There was no way the players were going to be able to go back out on that field after what they just witnessed. And I think ultimately, like a lot of soldiers that go off the battle, I mean, that was a traumatic experience. And there's going to have to be counseling and therapists to help these players kind of deal with it as we move forward.
Michael Lombardi, at Lombardi NFL on Twitter. Good follow. Michael, what do the Eagles do this week with the shoulder? of Jalen. They need to win. If they is it worth risking him to get that bye week?
Well, I think if he's healthy. But look, they're playing a team that's not going to play, right? I mean, this is a game that's going to feature Tyrod Taylor and Davis Webb for the Giants. You won't see Saquon Barkley in this game. I mean, this is why the line opened up at the, you know, is the Eagles favored by 14. I mean, that the book knows that the Giants aren't participating. The Giants are getting ready to play probably Minnesota again. They're preparing for Minnesota. This is a preseason game for the Giants. They're not going to come out and say it, but that's what it is. You know, they're not going to play any player that they feel like is on borderline and they need healthy for the week to go when they face the sixth or third seed. So to me, the Eagles are going to get in this, whether they play Minshew or Hurts. I think ultimately they need to play because, you know, we all thought, me specifically, this game would mean nothing to Philly and everything to the Giants, and yet it flipped, right? It means everything to Philly and nothing for the Giants. So I think the Eagles will play their guys. I don't know if Hurts will play. You know, I was told initially from the injury that he would not play in the first two games and wouldn't play in the last game because they wouldn't need it. But now maybe they do play him, and maybe they try to get his rhythm back because the Eagles did not look very good last week offensively or defensively. I mean, defensively is a huge concern. They're a zone team. When they get into a man-to-man game in the back end, it doesn't really work out. They could talk about Bradbury being a great signing for them and Slay being an elite corner, but when they have to play man-to-man against good receivers, they struggle.
Mike, when you take a look at where we stand right now in terms of some of the quarterbacks in the league, we're coming up on a quarterback draft that Houston Texans fans are going to have interest in. John and I just got done talking about Derek Carr. What's Derek Carr's value right now to a team? Now, I'm not asking you for a trade value or anything like that, but how do you project Derek Carr moving forward? What's his ceiling, and what do you think his value is to a team?
Well, I think Carr's a good player. I don't think there's no denying that he's not a good player. He's got a lot of the things you love in a quarterback. What you don't love about Carr is his ability to win games. I mean, you know, his career is 63-79 as a starting quarterback in the National Football League. Well, you could say that's not his fault. Okay, well, you know, I mean, the quarterback, he's only had two winning seasons in his entire career there. You know, and so last year, you know, I mean, so you could say, well, they don't play good defense. Okay, well, a lot of teams don't play good defense, but their quarterback makes up for it. You know, Burrow didn't have an offensive line last year, and they were able to find a way to win. So, you know, I think that it's got to be the right situation for him. I think he clearly wasn't the same player this year that he was last year. You know, his percentage of completion, he ranks in the bottom third. He actually is 30th in expected completion percentage, which means if the receiver's open, the quarterback needs to hit him. And he's in the same category in that area as Davis Mills is. Davis Mills is 32nd in that area. Carson Wentz is 29th. So for a guy who's an elite player, or should be, I mean, I had him rated as a redshift player going into the year because he threw for 4,800 yards last year. But this year he took a giant mother may I step backwards. He didn't protect the ball as well as he did. He didn't make plays in the red zone, and he really didn't give his receivers a chance to make a play. I mean, if you watch the Pittsburgh game, 3rd and 5, game on the line. You know, they double-teamed Devontae Adams on the outside. He's got an in-cut to Darren Waller, who's wide open by about 3 yards. He throws it to Mike Tomlin on the sideline. I don't understand why. I can't explain it, but he just didn't play within the offense. And then when you watch Jarrett Stidham come in last week and basically just execute the offense and put 500 yards up against the best defense in all of football, something's disconnected here.
Mm-hmm. Michael Lombardi with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So do you wait because the Raiders have to cut him, or do you give up something for him? And what would that be?
Well, he has a no-trade clause in his contract. So until he agrees to go somewhere, there's no, you know, there's nothing. There's
right.
Nothing he can
but
do.
If he did.
So, you know, he's going to be able to tell the Raiders, hey, I want to go here.
Right.
You know, and then they can work it out. I don't think there'll be a lot of compensation. There could be. You know, I mean, if they cut him, they don't get a compensatory pick. So whatever the Raiders get for this is gravy, frankly. You know, and they did this contract because I think both parties went into it really saying, okay, let's figure this out. You know, McDaniels watch Carr. A lot of people have watched Carr in his career, and there's concerns about Carr. Can he hang in the pocket? Will he step up in the pocket? Does he make plays on the move? When the play breaks down, does he make the play better or does he make it worse? You know, so everybody has seen this. So they went into it kind of, okay, prove to me that you are an elite player. that the 4,800 that the yards you threw for last year at almost 70% completion, you can improve with that. And when that didn't happen, now he's back to square one. So, you know, I think ultimately, you know, they'll work out some kind of compensation. I think that you have to weigh in where Carr is and where he's going as compared to what you think is in the draft.
How about the Jets? Are the Jets in any trouble? When I say the Jets, Joe Douglas, I don't know about Robert Saleh, but Joe Douglas and Saleh were sitting on, you know, they were sitting on Dream Street 4 weeks ago. And now things have changed drastically, and their, you know, their second pick of the draft, Zach Wilson, looks like he's done over there. This is a kind of a weird spot for the Jets right now. Now that they're sitting at 8-8.
Well, I mean, look, the Jets have great. They have a great PR machine, right? I mean, they do. I mean, Joe will. I promise you, Joe's draft this year will get an A+. There's no denying it. You know, and you know they have a team that people think is really talented defensively, and they have some good players defensively. But the reality of this is they've created two turnovers in the last 7 weeks with their defense, which is supposed to be an elite defense that creates turnovers. They haven't held a team under 100 yards rushing in those 7 weeks, you know, and they could, as bad as New England was, they couldn't beat them ever in either game. So to me, they're good. I don't think they're an elite defense. They don't create turnovers. Teams run the football on them. Last week, Seattle had 188 yards rushing. I mean, they only threw for 148. So, and then offensively, look, that offensive line is a mess. Now, it's not all Joe's fault. I mean, Becton hasn't been a good player for him. You know, they lose a bunch of guys in the line, and it hasn't worked out. But to me, I think there's a tendency to overrate them a little bit. And then the quarterback situation. I mean, look, Wilson is a guy that I don't know how mature he is. I don't know where he's going to go in terms of can he grow and develop. It doesn't seem like to me he's going to be able to focus and concentrate for what required of him for the season.
What if you're the Dolphins GM? What do you do? What do you going forward with Tua?
You know, I think the Dolphins are one of the most interesting teams in the league because we all think they're this incredibly talented team, and they're like, you know, because they have this big strike playability, and really when you break them down, when you break down the Dolphins, they are deficient in so many areas. I always break down a team in what I call the 19 areas that make a difference towards winning. And Miami is really not very strong. They're only good in three of those 12 areas. They're in the bottom eight and nine of them. Okay, so, yeah, they make big plays. What do I do with Tua? Look, I don't understand how Tua is the fifth pick in the draft. He's undersized. He doesn't have a great arm. Does he have great timing? Yes. Can he run away from anybody? No. You know, and now he's been hurt. I mean, he has been hurt in his career. It's not his fault, but he has suffered a lot of concussions. He's not going to play again this week. To me, I think it's a hard question to answer. I mean, you went all in this year. You make the trade for Bradley Chubb, who didn't stay healthy for you. Your defense is really not very good. You haven't been able to stop anybody on defense. Your corner situation is bad. I mean, I think there's a lot of things to concern yourself with. And most importantly is, how can we count on the availability of the guy that we drafted ahead of Justin Herbert? I don't know about that.
You just made an interesting comment about Tua, about him being undersized. I want to ask you this. You were back with back with Bill Belichick. You were with the Patriots there in 2014, 2015. You know Nick Caserio, obviously. He's a guy you're going to know in the league. You know, the Texans are sitting here with the first pick, and you know all about Bryce Young. I don't know how much you've studied him, but he's a quarterback that I've heard his verified numbers are sub 6 foot. They're 5'11 and a half, 195 is his verified from a scout I talked to who'd been in the building. Knowing what you know about Nick Caserio's background with Bill Belichick, and that is a position at quarterback that's extremely important, that falls below all the size standards that we're used to seeing. Would the Texans and Nick Caserio, if you had to bet on it, would he make allowances for size because of the position importance?
Well, whenever you make an exception, you become a team of exceptions. And so, you know, that's always a hard thing to do. And look, here's what I do know. Buddy Ryan said this years ago, there's a place in football for the little man. It's just not in front of the big man. And that's what would worry me about Bryce Young. I mean, I've heard it's 185. I've heard it's 5'10", 185. I mean, look, I think the guy's got a better arm than Tua. I think his movement and instincts in the pocket is really good. But all that being said is, can you believe he can last 17 games and 22 weeks? What I think we lose sight of is what happens to Tyler Heinicke or Gardner Minshew, these undersized quarterbacks. as the year goes on, they look good early, but their bodies can't handle the season. The lower bodies can't handle it. Their arm strength still slows down. They're not able to kind of make up for all the things. It's a problem. It's a huge problem. It's a hard sport. Look, this year we have beaten the record that was set in 87 when we had a strike game. We have gone 65 new players have played quarterback this year. That's double the league. So that tells you, A, teams aren't protecting very well. B, quarterbacks who are getting protected by the officials are still getting hit and are still not being able to stay on the field. So it's a concern. And you take a guy who's little, who doesn't have a durability issue at Alabama, does not. Tua did a little bit. Doesn't have one there. Then you're rolling the dice.
And will Nick Caserio roll that dice? We'll see. We shall see. Although Will Levis, I don't know how much you've seen of him. He would, you would think that would be the prototypical guy, but he just didn't play that well this year.
Yeah, you know, and they fired the offensive coordinator at Kentucky, and I don't know, you know, it's a little bit like Justin Herbert. You know, what happens to a lot of us when we study quarterbacks in the draft, we critique the offense. I mean, when you watched Herbert at Oregon, you critiquing the offense, which was horrible, you know, and it was sprint outs, and they never gave the kid a chance. And then when he went to the Senior Bowl, you said, wow, this guy's special. This guy's really unique. And you could see it. I mean, and with pro coaching, he got better leaps and bounds. I think that's what's going to happen to Levis. He's going to have to go down there because the offense wasn't good. He turned the ball over at the inopportune times. Yep. When he had an opportunity to make a play, he didn't make them.
Yep. At M. Lombardi NFL, the Lombardi line on VSIN, which is VSIN, and he's host of the GM Shuffle Pod.
Yeah, we need to know, where do we find the 19 critical factors for winning? Where can you? I'm sure you have that listed somewhere.
No, I haven't really written that. I just kind of I do it every week on my power rankings because I think too often we get into the situation where, you know, people, like, just for example, people say third down. How are you on third down? Well, third down's important. Don't get me wrong. But how many third downs does your defense allow? How many third downs does your offense convert per game? Like, that's more of an important stat than anything. How many punts per game are you doing? Like, when you look at the Texans and you just evaluate what they are, like in some of my critical numbers that take on coach that evaluate the coaching staff, it also evaluates the quarterback, how they've played in the last 5 weeks, how they've played in the last 10, points per play. How many times do they get to the red zone? Forget about how many times they score, how many times they get there. You know, and so there's a lot of things that go into it that are deeper than just, oh, well, they rank 23rd in yards per attempt. No, that's yards per attempt doesn't go towards winning. You know, yards, how many incomplete passes you force a game goes towards winning. You know, and that's why the Texans, they're 27th in the league in that category because they play zone and there's a lot of passes people can complete on.
Yeah, and their zone is pretty porous too, as a matter of fact. That's Michael Lombardi right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Thanks for your time, man. We really appreciate it. Great
Thanks,
conversation.
Guys. Appreciate you.
All right. Michael Lombardi here on this show.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.